Testing, testing. I have a choice. Too many choices in life is not good. It's not good to have too many choices in life. Gets you confused.
You don't have to get too many choices in life.
Just say yes and go on.
Mark?
It's all the same.
It's all the same. You got it. It's all the same. It's all the same. Okay. We have to. I want to finish on Mizmor Mem Zayin. Maybe start Mem Ches. We'll see. But let's finish off where we left off. Let's. Oh, we're in a rush. Come here, Mark. We're. Okay, we have over here. Let's finish up the end of the Mizmor, and then I want to go back and go through a few select common comments from the commentators. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Ches. Let's just finish up the Rashis and discuss some a few things. Okay, Pasuk Ches on page 424. 424. Ki melech kol ha. Ki melech kol haaretz Elokim zamru maskil. Because Hashem, the subject of the word melech, of course, refers to Hashem. Hashem is the melech of kol haaretz. Who is the Melech HaKol Haaretz? Ki, because it's like a mikro-kotzer. Mikro-kotzer means there are some missing words. Ki, because it is true. Melech HaKol Haaretz. Who is the Melech HaKol Haaretz? What? You should sing. Zamru Elokim Zameru. Zamru Lemalkeinu Zameru. Why? Why, correct? Why should you sing? The word ki is going back on the previous pasuk. Why should you sing to Hashem as the Melech and as Elokeinu? Ki, it is because Melech kol ha'aretz Elokim. It is because the Melech of the entire earth is Elokim. And therefore, to reinforce what we said in pasuk Zayin, Zamru Maskil. Okay, we're not going to repeat this. We discussed yesterday the difference, the two different songs, the emotional song and the intellectual song. And therefore, sing to Hashem a new song, a song of that appeals to the intellect, to the rational element of the mind. Pasuk Tes, Molach Elokim al Goyim.
Yeah? Melech, I understand, means king. How does it reference itself in terms of Elokim in UKVK? Does it fit into that kind of scenario of names of God?
Well, obviously, Hashem has many, many names, and I don't know more than that. It, obviously, in this Mizmor, we're referring to Hashem by three terms: Elokim, Yudke Vavke, and Melech. Are there more terms? I don't see more terms. This Mizmor, you make a good point that this Mizmor dwells upon three specific terms of Hashem. We know there are many, many terms for Hashem. There are the seven Shemos, which may not be erased, that have to have Kedusha. When a Sefer writes the Sefer Torah, he has to say L'shem Kedusha Sashem before he writes these Shemos. And the word Melech is not. Melech is not a name that cannot be erased. A Sefer is allowed to erase the word Melech. Even though Melech does refer to Hashem, it's not one of the seven names She'enam Nimchokim, the word Melech. If a Sefer was writing this Mizmor on parchment, and he wrote Melech in the wrong location, and he wants to erase it, he's permitted to erase it. Mm-hmm. Because Melech is not a shame that is sacred, that does not allow a scribe to, there's no Isser Deraisa of Mechikas Hashem, erasing the shame, the name Melech, only Yudke Vavkin, only Elokim. Okay, Molach Elokim al Goyim, but you're making a good point. There are three different terms in this Mizmor: Melech, Hashem, and Elokim. Pasuk Tes, Melech Elokim, Melech Elokim, Molach Elokim al Goyim, Hashem in the past tense. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich. Is there over here reference to the future? I don't know. I'm not so sure there is. But at least we have over here a reference to Hashem in the present and in the past. What? We'll say, okay, so let's see first. Did say that in the future, this is what they're going to say in the future. Okay, correct. Okay, let's finish up. Molach Elokim al Goyim. Hashem has ruled over the nations. Elokim Yoshav, Hashem has sat al Kisei Kodesho, on his throne. Okay, on his throne. Okay, so therefore, what will the nations of the world say in the future? We'll read Rashi in a few moments that Hashem, we have to jump ahead into the future. And in the future, it will already have been established Hashem's sovereignty over the entire world. And then the nations of the world will rise and will acknowledge that Hashem has established his sovereignty over the entire world. So we're speaking B'loshon Ovar only after we have already arrived in the future. We are going ahead into the future, and then when we're in the future, we're going to be looking back and acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supreme. Next, Nidive. Now this is the very I have a given. Okay, that's another idea. Right, it's already. That's another idea where Nevuah is written B'loshon Ovar. Even if you're standing in the present, and Hashem is telling you what's going to happen in the future, sometimes it's the grammar is the past tense, because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no difference the past, the present, the future. So Nevuah prophecy at times is written in the past tense. Now, is that what's happening over here? Possibly. You want to say over here that we're saying that Molach Elokim Al Goyim, it's a prophecy for the future? Maybe that's what it means. It's a prophecy for the future that Hashem will be the king over the entire world. And the reason why we really mean to say in the future, and the reason why it's spelled, it's expressed in the past tense, is because that is the nature of prophecy. Prophecy is typically expressed in the past tense because it's as if it already happened by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are no limitations. A human being does not know what the future will bring. He does not know the future, if he will be able to succeed and bring forth his plans. He's limited. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something will be, it will happen no matter what. And therefore Hashem, it's expressed in the past tense. In Echanami. So if you want to see over here, that this refers over here at Pasuk Tes, is a prophecy. What will be in the future? And we are describing the prophecy in the past tense. It's as if it's a done deal. It's as if Molach Elokim Al Goyim, Elokim Yoshav. It's as if already Hashem has sat, he has established his authority, Al Kisei Kacho, on his holy throne. We always like to discuss this, about this difference between the word Kisei and the word Merkava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is located in two different abodes. There's the Kisei, and there is the Merkava. The Merkava, it's Lahavdil Elif Alfei Avdolos, by a head of state. Look at the President of the United States. There, where is his primary residence? In the White House. But when the president travels, he has vehicles which have everything you can possibly need. Air Force One has every conceivable thing that the president can possibly need. His beast, the car, the limousine that he drives, I think they have six of them, at least six of them. So they move them all over the world. And in that vehicle, he has communication technology that can reach any living creature in the world. They have a hospital in the trunk. In the trunk of the car, there's a hospital. Okay, in Air Force One and Marine One, in the vehicle which brings the President of the United States to wherever his destination, he has every amenity, everything he can possibly want. La Havdil Elif Alfei Havdolos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has also two residences. He has his Kisei HaKavod, the Kisei, and he has his Merkava. The Merkava, Yecheskel, and Yeshaya, they saw the Merkava. They did not see, Gzuntan, if not mistaken, they did not see the Kisei. They saw the Merkava. They saw Hashem in motion. Hashem, certainly Yecheskel, it was called the Maisa Merkava, because where was Yirmiah? Yirmiah was in Bavel, Al Nahar Kivar. Yirmiah was in Golos. Yirmiah went together with the people. He went to visit the people who were. Yirmiah was always in Yerushalayim. Always to the very, very end. I'm sorry, Yecheskel. Yecheskel went together with the people 11 years before the Churban to Bavel with Golus Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin, the Chorosh v'Hamasker, they went to Bavel 11 years in advance of the Churban to prepare for the Goylim, and that is where he had his prophecy, and the Shechina was there. Why? Because the Shechina, Imoy Anoichi B'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with us into Golus. When Hashem goes into Golus, he's now residing in his primary location on the Kisei HaKavod. He's with us in transit in his Merkava, in his chariot. So that takes on a whole new meaning when you that concept is very critical when you read a pasuk like this, because until Klal Yisrael is established, until we return back to Eretz Yisrael and we build the Beis Hamikdash and have and restore the Malchus of Beis David, Hashem is with us in Golos. And when we're not in our location, Hashem is not in the White House. Hashem is living in Air Force One. He's living in Marine One. He's living in the Beast. Hashem is in transit with us. So he's in the Merkava. He's residing in the Merkava. He's not residing on his Kisei. So here when it says the day will come, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is, the Klal Yisrael is going to be restored, the Mashiach will come, Melchem Yisrael Gumagoyk, and the Mikdash will be rebuilt, and the Malchus of Hashem will be restored, we now use the, not just single, very poetic expressions, Molach Elokim Al Goyim, Elokim Yoshav, Al Kisei Kotshoy. Well, thank you very much. And Hashem today is not sitting Al Kisei Kotshoy. Hashem is not Golui v'yodua lifnei chisei chivodecha she'im yiposech echad meyam. Every time you go to the Beis HaKisei, you say Golui v'yodua lifnei chisei chivodecha. All of a sudden, when Mashiach comes, Yashav al kisei kotshoy. What do you mean? Every day, Hashem is kisei kotshoy. The answer is no, he's not. Hashem is not al kisei kotshoy. Hashem, but you see in the Asher Yotzar, Golui v'yodua lifnei chisei chivodecha. I don't know what it means. We have to tweak it. What it means exactly. But Hashem is not sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. Lifnei, okay, maybe Lifnei. We have to tweak, understand what that means. But Hashem is not sitting now, whatever these lofty concepts mean, on the Kisei HaKavod, because we are not sitting on in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. We have not yet been restored. So now is the moment of restoration. And the moment of restoration, we have been restored. Now, for the first time in a very long time, now, finally, Yoshav al Kisei Kotshoy. It's not just, a nice poetic expression. There is an event, a significant event that is happening that has not occurred for a very, very long time. Okay, next, Nidivi, now we come, now we... Right, Hashem Melech is the present, Hashem Melech is the past, Hashem Yimloch. It sounds like Nachum Siegel. What does he say? What's his signing off call? I haven't listened to him in years. Trust, what did he say? What does he say? What's the sign off call of Nachum Siegel? Remember the past? I haven't listened to him in so many years, but he has this classic, the past, the present, the future.
Live the present.
Trust the past.
No. Trust the future.
Trust the future.
Remember the past.
We have to get him to come here. We have to get him to come give a shiur. Well, he went off the radio, He went off the radio. He went onto the internet. He's not the same. Yeah, still online, but it's not the same. When you're online, it's not the same like being on the radio. It was a whole different world then. Okay, it was a different world. His popularity is like it was beyond belief. He still is. He's still the MC by most major functions in Klal Yisrael. He's still the voice of Nachum Siegel. Now, that voice is a powerful voice. All right. He's a genius. He's a really genius. I mean, he also is a very big Baal Derech Eretz. He listens how he interviews people. He knows how to give kavod. Nachum Siegel is a tzaddik. He knows how to be mechabed people. How many people do you know how to be mechabed somebody? When he interviews someone every day, he does his homework. He does his homework, and he knows how to be mechabed, introduce the people that he interviews, be mechabed them. It's an incredible, incredible art. Ezel ben olam haba. He's ezel mechubad ha-mechabed. It's kedai just to listen how he introduces people. My father, Zichron Levracha, very often there were events. My father was a rabbi of a shul for many years, many of you know. And very often, there were scholar residents, and there were every day. they would Friday night, there would be a speaker every Friday night. Someone would speak for a few minutes or whatever, all different things. And he would always introduce the speaker. And I'm telling you, 95% of the time, I'm not trying to brag over here, whatever, but it's a fact that my father's introduction to the speaker was better than the speech. It was very eloquent. Like, he gave the person a lot of shevach, and he did his homework, and then the speaker got up to speak, and they said whatever they said. And many times when you walk away, when it's over, you remember the introduction. You don't even remember what the person actually said. There's a tremendous koyach in this. So we give our salute to Nachum Siegel. Okay, off the topic. Let's go back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He came up, says, very few people are zocher to hear their hesped alive.
A lebedik hesped. A lebedik hesped. It's called a lebedik hesped. A living hesped. That's right. In Chanan, not everyone is you're saying good. You're saying the lebedik has no lebedik has paid him. Okay. Sometimes you ask someone to speak, and they know that it means they're going to be introduced with lavish praise and lies and exaggerations. So you say, I'll speak on one condition: no lebedik has paid him. Okay. Let's go. So over here. There was a person over here, you know, he spoke, he passed away only a few weeks ago, Rabbi Pinter. He's a very nice person. Rav Shmelke Pinter. It's a terrible tragedy. He passed away. So he once spoke. I used to ask people to come speak. We should do that again. Before COVID, I used to ask people to come speak. After COVID, it's not so easy to get people to come speak, whatever. Maybe now be easier. So he had a koil, a whole story. So he was a very generous person. You know, even if you would ask anyone, he would give lavish praise about anyone. He knew how to. So I asked him, I told him, I will please come speak to the shir, give a shir, but I'll t'nai, no lebedika has paid him. I remember I told him that. And okay, fine. And he came, and Baruch Hashem, he didn't make up any baba maises. Oh, like Hanukkah, right. Like yesterday, someone that I know, one of my relatives, his father passed away. It must have been 100 years old. The Niftim must have been 100 years old. So I got a link that the Levi is online at 12 o'clock. So I go to the link. So they said Tehillim. And then the person that I am, my relative, he gets up to speak. And he says, today is Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah. No has paid him on Hanukkah. And my father explicitly gave a tzava that under no condition can there be any hespedim at his levaya, under no condition. So therefore, I'm just going to speak for a few moments. Isn't that funny? Okay, today is Chanukah and Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to give hespedim, and my father explicit. So I'm only going
to... give a
And he spoke short. He spoke for only for a few minutes. But he gave a hesped. he said a nice hesped for a few minutes. It's really funny what goes on in this world. Okay. You caught it. You know, if someone's 100 years old, it's not a tearjerker. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a different type. It's a different type of situation. It depends. You know, it all depends. You can't generalize. You care of Nachum Sperling, you know, he does Ches Shel Emes. This Ches Shel Emes, there's no one here that can match his Chesed Shel Emes. And he has, Kenai and her, a lot of experience. Maybe one day give a shir. Really, no joke. Maybe one day give a shir. Tell us, really. No, there is. There's a lot, you have a lot to say. You've seen enormous, enormous experience dealing with a lot of very interesting situations. Really, I'm not joking. We'd be very much nene. If you would speak for us one day, tell us your experiences. Okay. Oh, so here.
You just said that the man was 100 years old, and my uncle, when he passed away, his rabbi was on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz.
So Chacham Afanav.
They were not right. They were not allowed. But no.
They were allowed.
No. David said.
Yeah.
David said No one's allowed. Only the family.
Only the family. Okay, that's what he said by everyone. I'm surprised he said that, because you would say by Zlatowitz, he was a chacham b'fanav, has a din, because what he did for Klal Yisrael is beyond belief. And there's so many things to say. I mean, there's so much to say. It's okay, whatever. I'm not a chasher of Dovah, whatever he says. I'm not a chasher shalom. Okay, but there's, okay, whatever. This is a very big topic. Now, let's go further. Let's finish up over here. Now, the last pasuk, the very critical pasuk. The last pasuk is interesting, is we're dealing over here with Nechem Eskeg Magog. And this really fits into the Shemoneh Esrei. Every day we say, look at Avraham, and look at Yitzchak, and look at Yaakov. So you would think that when you chais in the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Or whatever you want to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The same way, what? The Avos. Mogen Avos. Oh, so you will mean Mekatzim. Mogen Avos. Very good. Friday night. Mogen Avos. If you want to be Messiahim the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, you should be Messiahim it. If the bracha mentions Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, yes, is the perfect thing. So you should say Mogen Avos, or say, right, Mogen Avos. If you want to use the word Mogen, if you only want to say the word Mogen, is you reserve for Avraham. So find another word. But why are we only going back to Avraham? What happened to Yitzchak? What happened to Yaakov? Especially, you can find numerous Mamori Chazal that will tell you that Yaakov was the Bechir Sheva Avos. He was the select. He was refined. He was the third. He built upon Yitz-Avraham combination. So if you want to be Chosem, you should be Chosem. You should be Chosem with Yaakov, not with Avraham. And yet, the Nusach of the Bracha, the first Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Morgain Avraham. So there are many. So the bechachaisman, what's the talk of the pshat bechachaisman? There are many perushim. Not for now, but there are many perushim. Some will tell you the most common, I think, is that you know there was a tekuf in Jewish history of chesed. Avraham Avinu, or Klal Yisrael. Lechtech acharai b'midbar yitzros zochati lechesed nuurayich. When Klal Yisrael was young, the pasuk says the chesed nuurayich. Then there was a tekufa in Jewish history of avodah, the Beis Hamikdash, the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon was a tekufa of avodah, of service to Hashem, korbanos, avodas Hashem. And after the Bayis Sheni, Chanukah time, was a new tekufa, a tekufa of Torah. A ribui in serving Hashem by focusing on Talmud Torah, with the codification of the Mishnayos, and then the Talmud Bavli, and the generations, and all the Rishonim, with live at the Kuf of Torah. And now, where are we holding? We're holding in Zman of Mashiach. Today, we daven very fast. We don't have much patience for davening. Today we don't the learning. Yeah, we learn, but we don't see that we are producing goyim. There's an incredible ribuy of Torah today. It's unbelievable. Do you see in our generation goyim? There are. I'm not saying they're not. There are, but few and far in between. It's not the common. The common man is not a goyim in Torah. I'll give you a mashal. Chavetz Chaim talks about it in his time, when he was a young man. There was a ma'isa. He talks about the Yerida Sadoris. There was a ma'isa where a boy got engaged. Mar, you're gonna love this story. A boy got engaged, and I think he was 14 years old. He was 14 years old, and they got engaged, and he had a reputation that he knew Gan Shas. If I'm mistaken, this story, he held the whole Shas. And then they broke up the shidduch because the family discovered it was a mekach tos. What was the mekach tos? Because he first finished shas when he was 14 years old. And they thought that he already finished shas when he was 13 years old. Okay, he was a year behind. A year behind in the sima shas. So he's shvach. He's shvach. The shvach is not the ilui we thought he was. And that was standard. I mean, like, and then the Chavetz Chaim writes, in a very short time, he said, a story like that would never exist. It was an incredible Yerida. Why? Because of the wars. Yerida Sadaris. We don't understand this. Whatever it is, there was a tekuvah. now we're living in Ikvis of the Mashiach. And what if you open up the newspaper today? Today is the most important day in the week. Hayoim yoim flapush to a journal. On Thursday you have a different yoim. You have a different yoim, right? Today is when they put out the flapush to a journal. I haven't looked at the paper in a very long time, but today I come to show. I see someone carrying under his arm the flapush to a journal. Oh, it must be Thursday. It must be Thursday. Under your arm, he writes, Morty Melman, he has the advantage that he puts out his paper a day later than the Atedna and the Hamodia, so he can plagiarize everything there and correct all their mistakes and tell it to you the way it is. He has one more day. Exactly. It's a totally different, we can't even compare, it's a totally different world. But in any event, Avraham, we live in a generation of what's today, I'm not joking, open up the newspaper, chesed. Incredible chesed. B'choch Eisman. In Jewish history, we started off in Jewish history with Avraham Avinu, chesed. Lech teich acharai b'amidu zacharti l'chesed ne'urayich. The youth of Klal Yisrael, in our beginning, was an era of chesed. And then we came to a tekufa in Jewish history of avoda, service. And then we came to a tekufa of Yaakov. Yaakov is Torah. And here we are today. Today, we're living now in the times of Mashiach, and today we are returning back to our roots, to Avraham, and the emphasis today is chesed. It's chesed b'cho chosmin, the chasima of Jewish history that will usher in Bias HaMashiach is the chasima of Avraham Avinu of chesed. There's a look at Avraham, look at Yitzchak, look at Yaakov, but the chasima of the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham b'cho chosmin, Mashiach will come through chesed. That's the avoid of our generation. That's what I just told you now is probably the most popular explanation of why we are chosim with Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. Whatever it is, this last pasuk does exactly the same thing. This mizmor is the end of days. The end of days, the apocalypse, really after post-apocalypse, just after that, the very end. And here we return back to our roots. It's a gilgul hachoizer. It's a circle. We return back to our roots. We return back to Avraham. Nididei amim ne'esafu. The prince of the nations will gather together. Who is the prince of the nations? There are many nations. Which nation is the prince of all the nations? Who is it? So the pasuk answers the question. It tells you, you know who they are? Do you know who the prince is? It is the Am, the nation, who is the Elokei Avraham. The nation that is the God of our, who you have to translate it backwards, is that Avraham is their God, who serves Hashem in the ways, in the like their forefather Avraham. Ki le'lokim, because the Jewish people, the Nediv of the Amim, recognizes that ki le'lokim mo gine eretz, it's only to Hashem to guarantee the protection of the earth, the stability of the earth, and they acknowledge me'od na'Allah that Hashem is exceedingly exalted. Okay, it's a poetic, this whole mizmah, the words are very poetic, they're very hard to translate literally, and I have to add a lot of words, and that's why it's subject to a lot of interpretation. Let's just read the Rashi, and then we'll discuss some more things. We have finished with the Rashi. Go back to Pasuk Tes on page 424. Molach lukim al goyim koch yoimru hakol. When after Milchemes Gagumog, this is what the whole world will say, that Yoshav al kisei kachoy, Achshav ha kisei sholem. So I told you one drush, is that Hashem will no longer remain in the Merkava. He will now enter the kisei. he's saying something different. He's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, he's always in the Kisei to some degree, but his Kisei is Choser. Like it says, we learned this yesterday, is Ki Yod Al Keis Ka Melchama La Hashem Ba'amolek, and the Kisei is missing an, it's missing an Aleph, and Hashem's name is only Yud Kei. So as long as Amalek is in existence, Hashem's throne is incomplete. Now that Amalek will be eliminated, now Hashem's throne will be restored with an Aleph Kisei. Amalek Halkim Al Goyim Alakim Yashav Al Kisei Kodshoi, on his Kisei Kodshoi, Hashem will be Shalem, V'Yagdula Nikeretz, will be recognizable. The Agil, they will declare Kinesu Li'iroi, and they will declare, the Goyim will declare, that Eretz, this goes back to the first Rashi in Chumash, is the Umoy So'olim are going to say to Klal Yisrael, listim atem, you're listim. Now, the Agidu ki ne'esu li'iroi nidivei amim shehis nadvu atzmam lo tevach v'lehorek al kidush ha'shemo. The Goyim will acknowledge that the Jewish people have been moiser nefesh, have given up their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have returned to their land.
So for Rashi, the term Nidivim means volunteers.
Yeah, okay. Shis Nadvu. Atzmam, they've given up. It's hard to say, you don't have a choice sometimes. Some history has proven that we don't have a choice. Holocaust, we're not a choice. Okay, it's how do you learn that word? It's a hard, because you don't have a choice. Unless you want to go talk about someone like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who had a choice. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman knew that he came to America, and he knew that if he goes back...
But in terms of like, convert or die, or, worship of Anazora or die.
Okay, it's also a choice. Okay, martyr, but in the Holocaust, there was no choice.
Okay.
Right. Even the Crusades, when Rashi lived, there was no choice most of the time. Jews were just killed no matter what. Sometimes it was a choice, but most of the time there was no choice.
So obviously that's what
it is. To when there was a choice, okay. Next Rashi, next page 426. Am Elokei Avraham. Avraham was the first Nadiv. Now you would think maybe if once with following in this theme you would expect Rashi to say that Avraham had a choice. Nimrod threw Avraham into the Kivshan Ho'esh,
yeah,
or cast him. Rashi doesn't say that.
Well, you don't have to say it.
It's obvious.
He could have renounced what he had done.
Okay, Shahaya Nidiv Leif Harishain, he was the Nidiv Leif Harishain, Techilo Lagem, he was the first Ger. This end, this Mizmar at the very end, dwells upon the Sug of Gerus. He was the first of the Gerim, Ata now, know that is known, Ki Lelokim, Magini Eretz. Now it is known. Rashi is adding two words into this Pasuk. The two words are, now it is known. Ki lelokim magine eretz hayecholes biyadai. It is to Hashem the ability. He learns the word magine. Okay, it is the ability lohagain to protect al kol habayit chimbo, all those that have faith in Him. Avraham Avinu is the example. Avraham Avinu has suffered many, had many struggles. He is our model, patriarch of Klal Yisrael. He is our model, and at the end of days, the world will come to acknowledge this reality. That Hashem, ki lelokim magin eretz, shayecholes biyad, Hashem's ability to protect, just like He protected Magen Avraham, al kol ha-boit chimbo, all those that have faith in Him. Gives you a whole new appreciation of the first bracha, baruch ato Hashem, Magen Avraham. What do we typically think it means? Magen means Hashem, He protects you, but He's saying that Hashem has the ability. Okay, it's really the same thing. All those that have faith in Hashem. Okay, all those that have faith in Hashem. This obviously is a theme of Magen Avraham. Who says they didn't have disease and sickness?
We don't talk about it at all, that they were sick, that they needed Hashem to give them rachamim?
How, of course they did. People, what do you mean? This is
I'm talking about Avraham Yitzchak Yitzchak. Did they face the disease?
No. Chazal is the first one to get sick. Hinei avicha choleh. Yaakov was sick. Hinei avicha. David was sick his whole life. David was a sickly person. Avraham Avinu was under constant danger. Nimrod wanted to kill him. He tried to. He threw him into the furnace. When he went down, there was a famine. He was going to starve to death. So what did he do? He went to Egypt. In Egypt, they wanted to kill him. Imri no, achoy siyat. Say that you're my sister, because if not, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. And then when he went to the Pelishtim, the same thing all over again. He had enemies. Avraham was the Ivri. The whole world, he was on one side, and the whole world was on the other side. What do they do? Let's just knock him out. What do we need this? Avraham lived his entire life in danger. It has to be. I mean, that's what it's mashma. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. Ki Lashem Magine Eretz. Okay, so that concludes the Rashi. Yesterday we discussed the principle of Magin, the principle of a shield. There's a Magin Avraham. The Magin Avraham in the world of Kabbalah has 8 points. An eight-pointed, it's a symbol, an eight-pointed star. We have a mosaic in a shul. I don't know where it is. I don't even know where the sefer is. Somewhere at home. It's an incredible sefer by Trugman. By Trugman, he goes into all the yom of the Mogen Avraham. It's Bashkocha Pratis. Cannot deny the fact, Bashkocha Pratis, that the flag of the state of Israel, Medinas Yisrael, has on it a Mogen David. Haloi Davar. You can't go put that down. I once read an incredible, incredible article. I think I read it online. Is the history of how the flag, when the state of Israel was established, they opened up to the public. They asked the public to submit ideas on what the flag of the state of Israel should look like, of the Medina, and they received many, many submissions. And they had a big committee to sift through all of the ideas. And they actually, they show all of the different ideas. Almost none of them had the Magen David. Almost none. And the people that were calling the shots were not religious people. And it's just a fascinating story of Hashkocha. And even if you're a Neturi Karata, you can't tell me you don't have a little pride when you see that Magen David and the two blue lines. you know you're safe. In the eyes of the world, a Jew is identified by the Magen David today. How could you ignore that reality? Oh, the Medina. Yeah. All the detractors, right? How could you not acknowledge the fact that the Magen David is a symbol that you're a Jew? The yellow star. That's right, the yellow star. But even if you'll put aside the Holocaust, because today yellow star, you know, people don't even know what it is anymore. Even Jewish people don't even know what it is anymore. The new generation don't even know what's going on. But Hashem said, I mean, you're not going to forget. Hashem b'hashkocha pratis arranged that there's something called the Magen David hanging all over the place. And it represents Klal Yisrael, whether you like it or not. Haloi Davar. Okay, the earliest Mukara of Magen David was in cemeteries. Goes through this in Rabbi Trugman in the Sefer, is the first time the Magen David appeared. We have a record of it being used, was in a cemetery, on Matzevos, in order to differentiate between non-Jewish Kivarim and Jewish Kivarim. They have a Magen David and a Kivarim going back very, very far back. That's sort of the first, how it became a Jewish symbol on a kever. Okay, it was in Rezil HaMalach. Some say that Rezil HaMalach is the one that made this indication of the Magen David. What is the significance of the Magen David? The Magen David has six, so we always say the six dimensions. Hashem is everywhere. Up, down, and all four ruchos, the ruchos HaShemayim. Okay, there are other in Yonim. Some will tell you six represents the secret to Klal Yisrael is the Torah Shebal Peh, is the Mesorah six. All right, whatever these things are. But there's not only the mug, there's the Magine, there are other shields. There's the mug in Avram, it's the Chazal. And then there is the mug in Shlomo. I don't know where we find that. There's mug in Shlomo, that's five. That's also a Messiah of five. And we mentioned yesterday, Chava. All right. Now, by the way, also this part of here is very interesting. You know, we live in a world today where people have nothing better to do, and they're very worried about how the world is going to sustain itself. You don't read these things, but you waste your time on this nonsense. There are crazy people out there that claim there are 8 billion people in the world today, and there are people, Meshugayim, out there that say the world cannot sustain more than a 500 million to 2 billion people. And there are Meshugayim out there, they're actively involved in convincing the world that we can't maintain this existence of the resource of this world for more than a world of more than 2 billion people. I don't know what bothers them. They're not going to be alive when all the calculations. But this approach is mamish kefira at its best, at its fullest. The Torah says, Peru says to Adam Harishain, Peru Urevu, Umilu es haaretz v'chiv shua. This is the blueprint of creation, is to multiply and increase. It is no one's business to ever open their mouth and say that the world cannot sustain a population, an increased population. It is no one has such, from a religious perspective, the big blueprint of creation is Peru Urivu. Oh, you're going to ask the question, how is the world going to sustain itself according to all the calculations? The Pasuk here gives the answer. The Pasuk says, not your problem. Ki le'elokim magine eretz. Hashem protects this world. Hashem has in place solutions to protect the ozone layer, to protect the economy, to protect social security, to protect, you know, the population. It's none of your business. And people who have the audacity, the chutzpah neira, to think that they're God, and to even talk like this. Okay, there are so many of these people who talk like, they mamish talk like this. Mind your own business. It's built into the Bible. We're not even talking about Klal Yisrael. This pasuk here deals with the world, all of the nations of the world. The Malchus of Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elokim. We're dealing with the Goyim, Molach Elokim Al Goyim. It's Hashem's world. He created the world. He gave a command, Peru, Urevu. Peru, Urevu, Umilu Es Haaretz. Don't worry about it. All these people, you say to them this pasuk, Ki lelokim maginei eretz. Hashem protects the world. Pshuta shel mikra. He shields this earth from any destructive force that you think in your little teeny mind is a danger to society, a danger to the existence. Now, okay, before we wind out, I want to go through a few short things that I selected. First thing is, in the beginning of this mizmah, there's a very profound malbim. The very beginning, just to read a few words of the malbim. The malbim over here is discussing geopolitics. And he's telling you an analysis of why are wars fought in this world. He says a very sweeping statement. There are nations in this world, and every so often there are wars. Could anyone explain to me what's going on between Russia and Ukraine after all these months? I don't think there's anyone in this whole country that understands what's going on. What happened yesterday? What are they pledging $100 billion to Ukraine? What is really going on? Why are there wars in this world? Why? What's going on? So the Malbim says, and so it's interesting, if you go into the street, go out and stop your average person and say, tell me, why do nations fight? Explain to me in words. It's very curious what the average person will say to you. Talk about smart, intelligent people. You ask them, just put them on the spot. Why has it been? Why do people, why do nations of the world engage in war? You get very interesting answers. So the Malbim also has an opinion. The Malbim had very, very profound knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kulo, and he writes in the very beginning, look what he says. Okay, so look what he says. He says something very interesting. He says, and he reads into the Pasuk. Pasuk Beis, on page 422. Page 422, Pasuk Beis. It says in the Pasuk, Kol HaAmim, Bazman HaZeh, HaAmim Heim B'Molchama Tmidis, Goy B'Goy, Mamlocha b'mamlocha v'zeh mishtei sibos. In our lifetimes, in the existence of this world, nations are always at war. Don't think you're going to be able to go and avoid war. They're continuously at war. And why are they at war? Why? V'zeh mishtei sibos. Aleph, religion. Religion. Don't make a mistake about it. A lot of wars, it's all about religion.
Religion, ideology,
that's what it's all about. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, we'll go on to say, is they just want to be macho. They just want to, a person has this need to control, a need to, I'm the boss. It's an incredible insight. Aleph, besibas ho'emuna. Religion, ideology. Shekol bal emuna miyuchedes. Anyone that is a bal emuna miyuchedes has a distinct belief in religion, yilochem v'yirtze lehachriach bal emuna acheres el emunaso. Okay, Christianity.
Islam.
Infidels. The whole world has to follow our belief. Isn't it a horrible thing? The whole world. If you're a Christian, it's not enough. You have to go and convince the whole world. That's part of the religion. Part of the religion that is insecurity. That is the ultimate. If something is really good, you don't need to convince anyone. You don't need to convince anyone. People will do it on their own. When someone starts forcing you to do something, that right away is a red flag. Okay, it's a red flag when if something is really good, so it's obvious that it's very good. Why would someone force you to do something? If it's in your own best interest to do something. No one's suicidal. So the fact that you have to go force someone, it really goes to show that you're insecure. It's an insecurity of the falsehood of your belief. Judaism does not promote conversion, does not promote missionary work. There is no such thing in Yadus. Adarabba, it's the only religion you push away gerim. If a person wants to become a ger, you push him, b'shtei yodayim. You don't want him. We don't want you.
That's the gear, man. Three times. So we do sometimes have to have war.
What? No, we have to defend ourselves.
No, I'm talking about even in ancient times.
The Malbim over here is saying something very profound. Nations are aggressors. Wars break out when people have to defend themselves. But a war starts with an aggressor. There's an aggressor. Why is one nation attacking another nation? Crusades. Okay, what happened to the Crusades? Still go on. The Crusades. There's a war today between the West and the East. The West represents Christianity, and the West is Islam. This is the first Crusade. This is 1,000 years old. The Crusades are still going on. The call for war by the Christians is a crusade. It's a word which means a call for war and to take the cross. And by Islam, their word is jihad. Jihad is to go and to die for their religion. And there's a war going on today between the West, which represents Christianity, and the East, which is Islam. Why? Ideology. It's all about, this is what the Malbim says, ideology, and it really represents an insecurity or a deep subconscious acknowledgement that our religion is sheker, it's cool as sheker. Because if it was really MS, MS stands on its own. Automatically, people will accept the MS. Klal Yisrael, we don't need to missionize to do this type because it's MS. And the Mela, we have no sakis. That's why Klal Yisrael has been around from time immemorial. And you want to join us, so you join us. We don't have to go. We don't have to prove anything to you. We're secure in ourselves. But the nations of the world do not share our emunah. They are insecure, and their insecurity leads them to behave in such a manner which brings about world wars. This is very profound stuff. One more time. Aleph, the first white line on page 422 in the Malbim. Besibas ho'emuna shekol ba'al emuna miyuchedes miyuchedes yilochem v'yiritzeh lachriach, to force ba'al emuna acheres el emunasoy. Beis. Okay, that's not the only reason why there are world wars. There are other reasons why, and that is, and this is besibas hamisra, authority. People have a need to control, a need to be this. It's a sickness of the soul. To some people, v'hamemshala shekol am, every nation, forget about religion. There's just this sickness almost. Roitze lehistorer al amim zuloso. You want to be in control. You want authority. It's just a natural condition of humanity. Right, exactly. It's a sickness. Make other people under control. I'm sure you've all seen, you've gone to places during COVID. Okay, COVID is because mamas sakonis nefashos. People have everyone here. People have died. People are very, very sick. But sometimes you've seen, we've all seen this, is where people who are in control, it's their makom, their place. They've really gone way too far. Sometimes, and you right away pick up. This, no, I'm not talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you go to a shul. I once went to a shul, not in this neighborhood. I went somewhere. It was already when COVID was already come out. I mean, it's not over. It's still sakonis nefashos, and it was basically all young people there, young people, and many other shuls in that neighborhood. No one was already wearing a mask at that time, and there was one particular shul. They still had a rule. The rule is because they follow the rule. So a guy walks in. I don't think he knew what was going on. He walks in. He wasn't wearing a mask, and the gabbai, he ripped into him publicly, like I never saw. And everyone there was like, oh, their heart went out. He lashed into him. He lashed into him publicly. So everyone there had the same reaction as me, I think. This is not about health. COVID is pikuach nefesh. We all know that. But what just happened over here was not about pikuach nefesh. Was not about health. It was not about safety. It was about control. That's all it was. I'm the balabas here. No one dare challenge my authority. That's a sickness. That's a sickness. It really. And that was. I'm sure everyone here has seen something similar to this. And I'm not denying safety. Everyone knows. What's all that about, right? It's this sickness to control other people. So the Malbim says that's every single world war is based upon one of these two principles. It's either a religious war, to force upon someone else your ideology, and if you remove religion, it is just the sickness of the human condition to be in control, authority. So the Malbim says that's reasons pshat in this pasuk. That l'asil love, remember we learned in the last mizmar, the war that will end all wars. The war that will end all wars was, where was that pasuk? Where was that pasuk? I can't find it. Membav. Where was that pasuk? Mashbis milchamais. Pasuk Yud in Membav. On page 420. Mashbis milchamais, the war that will end all wars. So here, when that war has been concluded, Mizmor Mem Zayin, he learns the pasuk Ki Hashem Elyon Noira Kama. I'm just summarizing the Malbim. It represents that at this point in time, there will never be a need for a war to force another ideology, another religion upon another nation, because every single nation will automatically subscribe to Yiras Hashem.
How about like material? You need water, you need released oil?
No, so the Malbim, so you're saying something very good. That's not what wars are about. That's not what wars of the Malbim is saying. That's not what people fight about. Yeah, that's business. We need water. We need this. He says that's not a reason to go to war. It's about either idea. No, he's saying not. He's giving you. You have to study this. Go
the
take
history
a.
History of Japan. Japan has all natural resources.
Yes,
that's why they need everything. Japan has no natural resources
to control. So maybe it fits in the second. For natural resources. All right, this is what the Malbim says. You have to delve. Maybe that's all part of number two. When you all part of two, to be in control. If you don't have, you don't have. So then you have to see what it says. Over. You have to see what he understands. But he says there are two things, and he learns that's the pshat in the pasuk. Pasuk gimel. It says that in the time of Mashiach, there's not going to be a need. There's not going to be a need for a religious war. Because there's only going to be one religion. Ki Hashem Elyon Noira. Because Hashem is Hashem Yud Kei Vav Elyon Noira. The word Noira captures with it this is how he learns. We're not going to read it now. Is a religious element. The world will have Yiras Hashem. And therefore, there's no other religion. There is no other religion. So there's no need for one nation to go to war to impose. There's no more crusades. There's no battle between Islam and Christianity which swallows up the whole world. What's the other reason? The other reason is, okay, you want to be in control. Maybe you want natural resources, you want money, you want to be in control. You want to be in the driver's seat. That's also not going to be relevant because the next words are, Melech Godol Al Kol Haaretz. Hashem's the boss. The word Melech, the Melech is a term of Gashmias. Gashmis. Ki Hashem Elyon Noira has a flavor, according to the Malbim, of Ruchnius. So there's no more religious wars. Hashem is the only Melech. What about control? Who's the boss? Mal Melech means, what does the Melech do in Klal Yisrael? He controls the water, he controls the natural resources, he controls Parnassa. That's his job. Hashem is in charge, and therefore there's no need to fight about those things either. Melech Godol Al Kolart. Okay, this is just draw this short idea. Okay, now let's go to another quick idea. This is another Mincha Shai. Very, very interesting Mincha Shai. We turn to page 424. It says over here in Pasuk Ches, we say this seven times on Rosh Hashanah, Ki Melech Kol Ha'aretz Elokim. The Mincha Shai says, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but it can very well be that there's a mistake in your edition of Tehillim. Another mistake. You're missing a word. Okay, we already had. We already had. What was the other thing that we discussed? I already forgot. Elokim and Hashem, in the previous mizmar. Or this way. Elokim and Hashem. That was in the previous mizmar. Elokim and Hashem. Here's another one. You're missing the word Al. Ki Melech. Is it Melech Kol Haaretz, or is the correct girsa Ki Melech Al Kol Haaretz? Shocking, huh? Look what it says over here in the Mincha Shai in the bottom, on page 424. B'sefer echad kesivas yod, in a manuscript, with fus yoshan, cause of al kol haaretz. The af b'sefer echad yoshan misforad, kesivas yad nichta borishayna, they found an old manuscript where Taka said al, and someone crossed it out. Oh, so what does that mean? Did someone cross it out because they were correct? Or does someone cross it out because they were ignorant? And the correct version is Al. Okay, but you're showing in Milas Al, the Achar Kach Nig Rira, someone there crossed it out. Gam Bitfus Yoshan Mivinitzia. Came Venice, Nichtavit says, Bitsidoi Sforim Achedim. It is a Haggah in an ancient manuscript on this Pasuk. And on the side of the margin it says, Sforim Achedim Al. You see two different ways when you make a correction. Okay, if you're very, very rude and very, 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 what's the word? You're not a well-mannered person. You just cross it out. But crude, you're a crude, crude person. You'll just go cross. You ever seen yeshiva? They have svarim. Some people, they feel the need to correct the Mishnah Berurah.
Aggressive.
What?
Aggressive.
aggressive. They're aggressive. You see, always in yeshiva, people, you see, all over the sefer, and someone makes corrections in the svarim. So you don't see two of them. So they'll go and they'll cross it out.
The meaning is
about the same anyway. Well, we don't. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily in Tehillim you can't say, and in Tanakh you can't say that. Every word creates. I mean, to us it sounds the same. But obviously, if you want to, you know, really dig deep, there's going to be a nuance that's going to be a difference. You're right, it's a seemingly big deal, right? What's it there? But we know in the Sefer Torah, you're missing one letter, Sefer Torah is puzzle. So Tehillim is not far behind that. And there's not that, there's no halach, we never lean from Tehillim that it has to be.
I'm just saying, like an earthquake.
Right, it doesn't appear. It doesn't appear, not at least on a superficial level. But who knows? You know, we're not into these big things. So b'tzida yisramachem al v'cheinu b'meir nisiv. I don't know what that is. V'chein nira miperish. I don't know what he's talking about. I read this very carefully. I went to the Ibn Ezra and the Radak on our page 425. V'chein nira miperush Ibn Ezra v'Radak. I don't know what he's talking about. He says from the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, it's mashma, the word is al. The Radak doesn't say the word al, not here, not there. The Ibn Ezra, he says the word al, but it doesn't seem like he's saying that's the way, it doesn't say anything, but that's what it says in the Pasuk. Okay, I don't know. He claims he had a different edition.
He never saw the one that said without it.
Okay, maybe he had a different edition when it says in Ibn Ezra and the Radak. When our Ibn Ezra and the Radak, I don't see how you can prove anything. But he says from the parish of Ibn Ezra and the Radak, it would appear that they all had a girsa, that the correct girsa, the word al. So then he goes on, very complicated thing, which is not for us. And, okay, we'll just leave it with that. It is a very interesting thing where you have such a thing where the Mincha Shai is telling you that there are other nuschoi, something, you know, typical type of Mincha Shai is it a hey? Is it an aleph? Is it mole? Is it choser? You know, these teeny little nuances. Is vowels? Is it seri? Is it a komatz? Are we here? A whole word. This is a serious business over here. We had Elokim and Hashem, and now we have over here an al. This is a little bit more. That's part of his perush. He's explaining the pasuk. It's not, see, the art scroll, they didn't put in bold. The art scroll makes it confusing for us. Because the art scroll puts in bold the words, the Ibn Ezra, he didn't have a computer and have an option of making the words that he wrote down on paper in bold. Okay, art scroll, they did that. So I don't exactly know what he means. Okay, that's one Indian I wanted to mention. Okay, another Indian I wanted to mention over here is, in this Mizmar, we learned something very, this is something I find to be very important, because it's very relevant, because we say Mizmar, when we take out the Sefer Torah, and we turn the Sefer Torah, and when we started this Mizmar, we spoke that this Mizmar is dealing with Yemos HaMashiach, we're dealing with what happens after Milchemes Gog Magog. However, let's look in the Ibn Ezra in the beginning of the Mizmar, and then we're going to look in the Radak at the end of the Mizmar, and there's a very interesting thing that comes out. In the beginning of the Mizmar, on page 423, Lamatzeach Livnei Karach, Zeh HaMizmar Limos HaMashiach. Okay, that's what we started with. We referred to Limos HaMashiach. Then it goes on to say, V'Rabbi Moshe Omar, I don't know who this is. Who's Rabbi Moshe? I don't know who he's referring to. I have no idea, Omar. Ki B'Bavel Nemar. No. It's referring to an event in Bavel. I don't know what that means. Next. V'yesh Oimrim, some say that this, the topic of this Mizmar, Ki Nemar B'Mei David, this entire Mizmar is referring to the time of David HaMelech when they brought the Oroin to Ir David. After the Mice, which Shiloh was destroyed and was captured by the Pelishtim and the Parois, the miracle, the Parois, they brought the Oroin to what was his name? The name of the person who was blessed with children, I forgot his name. Whole story in Sefer Shmuel, beautiful story. What? Oved Edom, excellent. Oved Edom, Oved Edom. He temporarily hosted the Oroin, and then eventually David brought the Oroin to Ir David, and then from Ir David to Ir David, and then he decided it's time to build the Mishkan. So it says this Mizmor was said when the Oroin was brought from Oved Edom, it seems, to Yerushalayim, to Ir David. The Yeshayimim, Kinemar be made David beha aloi sam ha'orain. Amazing, huh? So next time you go to Eretz Yisrael and you go visit Ir David, this is the appropriate Mizmar to say. to say Lam Natzech Livnei Korach Mizmor, and it's describing the Oroin HaKodesh, and it's just Kol Am. So I guess all of these praises are now, you have to understand what's going on over here. Why in the world would these nuschois about the nations of the world be relevant at the time when the Oroin is in motion? And it's very simple. It's very simple. Vayihi bin Soya Ha'Oroin. Vayoyme Moshe. Kuma Hashem. Kuma Viafutsu Oyevecha Miponecha. The Pasuk says, Viafutsu Kuma Viafutsu Oyevecha Miponecha. Tell me with the Pasuk. How can I not know the Pasuk? Kuma Hashem Viafutsu Oyevecha Miponecha. Viyonusu Misanecha Miponecha. It describes when the Oroin is in motion, the Umois Ha'olam, they fall in line. They behave themselves. Isn't that amazing? Now, that itself needs explanation. That itself is a very deep... What is the fact that the Aron is in motion have anything to do with the Goyim being defeated? My Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. The Aron is in motion. When the Aron is in motion, all of a sudden, you hear this nation, the earthquake swallowed them up, and this nation was flooded by a tsunami, and this nation, the tornado wiped them out. What? Just because the Aron is in motion? Just because the Aron is moving? Is moving? That triggers a whole of the Churban? I honestly have no idea. There's something very deep over here. I don't know. We have to think about what the connection is, but... Just like when it says Vayhi bin Soyoron Vayoyim Moshe Kumo Hashem Yafutsu Oyvecha Miponecha Vyenusu Misanecha Miponecha, just like when it comes to that pasuk, this is exactly the same thing. Here, this mizmor is describing how all of the nations in the world you shape up or ship out, and when is that moment of shape up or ship out? When the Oroin is in motion. There's something about the Oroin being in motion that causes everyone to be subject to din, or to be at their best behavior. Look, when we take out the only time that me'ikar hadin in the halacha, the only time me'ikar hadin you have to stand up for a sefer Torah is when it's in motion. When you take it out of the Arod and bring it to the Bima. When they're laning, you don't have to. The Gros sat for Kriya Satara. The Gros sat. You don't have to stand when you do Kriya Satara. You have to stand for Baruch Hu, but not for Kriya Satara. We have a minute we stand. Some of us stand. When you open the Arod, you don't have to stand. It's in its own Rishus. It's a minug to stand when you open up the Arod HaKadosh. Me'ikar Hadin, you don't have to stand. It's in its own Rishus. But when the Oron, the Sefer Torah, is in motion, it's being transported from the Oron to very chomor. It's a dover chomor admoid. That's why Simchas Torah is a very big problem. Simchas Torah, are you allowed to sit during Hakafas? It's an iboy dilo ifshuta. How are we allowed to really sit during Hakafas when the Sefer Torah is in motion? It's a big, we discussed this, a big, big topic. Not so simple at all. But here, this is a shocking Ibn Ezra. This mizmor, he says things over here, this mizmor, we're not going to go into the details, is describing when the Aron is... Now, why am I telling this to you? Because now let's go to the Radak. At the end of the mizmor, the Radak says, is Pasuk Vav. Okay, Pasuk Vav, page 425. Allah Elokim... Okay, at the top of the page, the very top of the Radak. Olukim Yomru Yisrael Begvura Betuva V'Kol Shofar V'Simcha G'Shay Yeshiru L'Kel Yomru Olukim Kiloimar Ata Nis'al Al Kol HaKokim HaShamar. Okay, just go down a few more words. V'Yeshayimrim. It's 1, 2, 3, 5 lines from the top of the page. V'Yeshayimrim. And Itaka cites, I didn't even realize, Ayin Ibn Ezra. Okay, V'Yeshayimrim. Ki Oz Behariyam B'Kol Shofar Ya'ale Ha'aroin mimakoim shenignaz sham. Now look at that. Here's the reason why I got excited. What he says here. Vikoro ha'aroin elokim. You ever hear that before? What? So, so the Elohim, we always refer to Elohim as Hashem. Hashem. Or you'll tell me he refers to Bezdin. Ad ho Elohim, what's the point? Yovoi Dvar Shneyem. The word Elohim either refers to Hashem or refers to an authority, to a Bezdin. Or Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdol is to a deity. Lo yelecho Elohim achedim al ponoi. But now we learn today a whole new translation. The word Elohim is a word that refers to the Aron HaKodesh. Elohim means the Aron. It means the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is not Hashem. It's not Hashem's Sefer Torah. It's not, but you don't even say representative. This is what it is. The word Elohim is a word, the translation, the definition, the dictionary means the Aron HaKodesh. Memelo. And now when you read certain psukim, mizmorim, that describe the transportation, the transport, and you tell them there's such a concept that the Aron is called Elohim, that's what it means, because in this mizmor, that's what it says. It says, Allah pasik vav, Allah Elohim bishua. Now, we read this, and before we blow shofar, what is everyone's mind thinking? Wouldn't you like to have like a screen and you can have every person to tell you exactly, like closed caption. You look at a person, what is he thinking in his mind? Guarantee you, you go to Chaim Berlin, there are 1,000 people, closed caption, you look at every single person. Allah Elohim Bishua, Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam. He goes up from the Kisei Hadin to the Kisei Harachamim. When you blow that shofar sound. Yeah, that's a very nice drush. That's a nice drush. But what's the pashup shot? The pashup shot is, when they blew the shofar, Dov, go back in time, go back 3,000 years. David HaMelech is doing a procession. He's taking the Oren HaKodesh from the base, Oivet Edoim, bringing it to Ir David. And when he made a whole ceremony, and he trained his people. When we blow the shofar, that's when you move. That's the signal for you to march and carry the Aron, go forward. Allah Elohim Bishua. When the Teruah is sounded, the Aron moves. It means Aron. Now, go to Vayihi ben Tzoyah. Vayihi ben Tzoyah Aron Vayihi Moshe. Kumo Hashem. Ooh, when it says Hashem, now he actually says this. Let's go further. Hashem there also means, this is a little going a little further, but I think he actually says that Kuma Hashem means the Aron. We always translate Kuma Hashem via Futsoi Vecha. Correct. But I think he actually says Elohim also refers to Hashem. You're right. Let's just read what he says. Maybe I'm going too far.
The phrase by Aron Bris Hashem will say Elohim is referring to the Aron, obviously, but it's Aron Bris Hashem. So
it's Hashem's Aron, right. Okay, but over here he says, Ki Hashem El, look what he says over here. Okay, Kloima Ato Nesal Al Kokol, I'm sorry, Vieshoim Rim, Ki Oz Behariyam Bekol Shoifer Yale Ho Oroin, Mimo Koim Shinignasham, Vikoro Ho Oroin Elohim. This is Radak. This is serious stuff. This is not a Hasid Shemaisa here. This is serious stuff over here. Elohim, Kimosha Omar, Asher Nikro Shame. The Achar Kach, this in Shmuel, the Achar Perish, Lama Nikra Shem, Ki Shem Hashem Tzivakois Yoishev HaKruvim Olav, V'chein Nikra Elohim, Ki Kvoid Elohim Nire Olav, V'chein Hoyu Oimim Bin Soya Ha'aroin. Look what he says over here, I didn't make this up. Kumo Hashem. So I don't know what he means. Does he mamish mean to say that he's trying to make this relationship? That when it says Kumo Hashem, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, is also in that pasuk translated the Aron should rise? No one does that. We don't say that. When we read the translated pasuk, we always translate Vayehi was Bin Soya Horoin, when the Aron traveled. Vayoy Moshe Kumo Hashem Riboyne Shaloylan, rise up and obliterate our enemies. Hashem, not the Aron. We already addressed the Aron. We already said, Vayihi ben Tzoyah Aron. He seems to translate, it's what he says over here. V'chein ha'yoyim ben Tzoyah Aron, Kumo Hashem. Almost sounds like he's saying, is the Aron. Kumo Hashem. Aron. The Aron HaKodesh. Kuma. You move forward. You move forward. Chazal tell us the Aron was noisiest noisaf. The Aron was a living organism. Okay? No one can carry, four people can carry the Aron? Impossible. The Aron weighed the amount of gold, the modern studies, how much gold was included in the kapores and in the kruvim, and the weight of the gold, it was physically impossible for four people to carry the Aron. Chazal said that's right. The Aron was noise es noisav. It carried those who carried it. It was a living organism. The badim, a piece of wood, you pick up the badim, it'll crack in a half a second. The badim can carry the weight of the Aron, a broomstick. A broomstick is going to be able, you take the broomstick on your shoulders, it's a toothpick compared to the Aron. The Aron was a living creature. And the Aron, are you talking to call the Aron Yudke Vavke? Bishloima, you'll call it Elokim. All right, I got it. You can call Avodah Zorah, it's called Elokim, right? Avodah Zorah, lo yelucha Elohim achedim alponai. Got it. So, Bezdin, okay, wow, the Aron is called Elokim. I accept. But this already is going a little bit, pushing the envelope. To say Yud Kei Vav Kei is called the Aron? Is that what he really means to say here? I don't know, maybe I'm not reading it correctly. But the idea still is an incredibly, incredibly fascinating idea. Okay, and then just to wind down now, to wind down over here with the Gerb, look at the Maimer Chazal, page 427, the last thing. The Maimer Chazal, page 427. Nidi amim ne'safu amim, okay, on the very, very bottom of the page. Dorash Rav Maidach Siv, ma yofu pamach ban olam bas nodiv. Okay, Aliyah L'Regel, it says, how beautiful are your footsteps when you traveled in shoes, wearing shoes. Daughter of nobility, who is the Nodiv? It's only because we learned this pasuk today on page 427 that we know what the pshat in that pasuk is. The Nodiv is Avraham. How do you know it's Avraham? You pull out of a hat. Maybe it's Yaakov. Maybe it's the Arizal. How do you know the Nodiv? The Nodiv is Avraham. It's this pasuk over here that we learned today. Mayav ha-mayach pa-mosem, this footstep, shol yisho b'shosh ha-olim l'regel, bas nadiv, bitoy shel Avram avinu, shnik nadiv. This pasuk is the one that calls Avram the nadiv. The nadiv is the gracious one. Shenema nadivei amim ne'asafu am elokei Avram, elokei Avram, elokei v'loy elokei Yitzhak v'yakov, elo elokei Avram, v'yishoy techilu l'agenim, he was the first. And it's very interesting is that aliyah l'regel, it's a merdik, incredible chiddush. Aliyah, you know what Aliyah L'Regel is? Shalosh pa'amim bashana yera'e kol zuchur ches p'nei Hashem Elokecha. You know what the tafkid of Aliyah L'Regel is? To reenact. Vayoymer Hashem El Avram, lech lecha, me'artzicha, umimoylaticha, umibesavicha. Did I skip a word? El ha'oretz asher areka. Okay, it is when the midst of Aliyah L'Regel, what is it? Stam, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have go to some good restaurants, and you go to the Kaisel, take some pictures, some entertainment. No, that's not what it is. Aliyah L'Regel is to relive the experience of Vayoymer Hashem El Avram, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. How do you know that? Because it says in the pasuk, "Mayofu fe'amayich banolim bas nodiv." What are the footsteps? Chazal, the footsteps are Aliyah L'Regel, and when you do Aliyah L'Regel, you're the bas nodiv. You're reconnecting with Avram, who was the first ger. He was the first one that became part of Klal Yisrael. And when did Avram go to Eretz Yisrael? Lech lecha, me'artzecha. Give it all up. Give up your whole life. Give up your job, your parnasa, your kavod, your shtela. Come, lech lecha. Come to Hashem's makam. Elo oretz asher reka. We only know that because of this pasuk over here. All right, so this concludes over here. This mizmor. This mizmor is really very important. We spent a lot of time today. I went over time because we say this every year seven times before we blow shofar. has so many different themes. It says Elohim seven times. That's why we say it seven times. Elohim is found here seven times. It says the word Zameru five times. This is very important. You say Zameru five times. Why five times? Kineged Chamisha Chumshe Torah V'ata Kisvu Lechem Esashira Hazois. The Torah is the ultimate song. Why do we blow shofar at the bima? Why? Why the bima? Blow shofar in the front of the shul. Blow shofar in the back of the shul. Blow shofar where the person sits. Why do you blow shofar at the bima? You don't want to go use the bima for what you want. You know, a person over here came to me, he asked me a question. He came over to me, he said to me this week, am I allowed to stand by the bima and learn chumash and learn a gemara? I need a shtender. Can I just go to the bima over here and put my gemara down? I told him, l'chori, you're not allowed to, because it's miyuchid for tashmishei kedusha, but puk chazi amadvar, the whole world is lenient. The whole world stands by the bima with their smartphone and all the mishigasim, and they learn gemara, and they put machsa shekel on it, and they do anything they want. The bima is it's like you know, the place for everything. They talk lashon hara on top of the bima. They do whatever they want. So really, l'chari, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to use the bima for anything other than kriya satayra. But look, the minhag olam is to be makel. I guess it means that when they made the bima, there's a tanai. There's a tanai that it's not kodesh. They use it for kriya satayra. I told him, listen, what do you want? What are you asking me? I'm not a poisek. L'chari, it's taka osur, but the olam is makel. There must be a tanai. So he's very upset at me that I didn't want to give him a clear answer. So he went to a rabbi here around the corner, and he comes back and he asked the rabbi, his rabbi who's, I don't want to say his name, he lives around the corner over here, and he's who's a paisek, and he told him, it is osur. Osur. And he comes back to me and basically excuses me of being an Amo Aretz. The rabbi told me it is osur. It is osur for me to take my Gemara and stand there and learn Gemara on the Bima. Okay, I'm not gonna, the rabbi told you it's osur, I'm not gonna fight. He's taka right, it is taka osur. What are you blowing shofar there for? It's osur. The bima is sacred. What are you blowing shofar and the bima? It's not Torah. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's not Torah. Torah, tashmishei kedusha, kriya satorah. Kriya satorah is kriya satorah. You go to the bima, you put the shofar on the bima, you put your sitter on the bima, the bakri stands there. My high! You know what the answer is? The priest can give you the answer. It's pikuach nefesh. You know why it's pikuach nefesh? Because everyone's life is hanging in the balance. Mi yichye mi yomos. And the koyach of the shofar is going to make the difference. And therefore we need zuchusim. And the name of the zuchus ha-toyra is what's going to get, is the gasoline that's going to get the shofar to where it needs to go. It's only because we have to connect to the zuchus of Torah that we can power that sound and get it to where it needs to go. That's why we lay in by the bima. The zuchus haTorah. I think it's Imam Shulchan Aruch says this. The zuchus haTorah. Memela, what is Torah? V'ata kisvu lochem es ashira hazos. You know why you're saying this mizmor? Because this mizmor, it says the word zameru five times. Five times. Torah. When you want to blow that shofar, don't take any chances. You better have a backup. There's the bima. There's the chosat Torah. And don't forget, say the word zameru, zameru, zameru. Say the mizmor seven times. And don't forget the song, the ultimate song, the zuchus of the shira hazos. In the zuchus of the Torah, of Ein Lonu Shiur Rak HaTorah HaZois, that's what's going to catapult the Kol Shofar to Shemayim.
The same
is
this Mashmeira.
The same what?
Mashmeira.
You say, well, that's part of the Torah. That's all the zuchus of the Torah. Once you're getting an Ali, you're letting the Torah. So you say, wait a minute, you buy the beam. The Torah's on the beam already. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break, and then we'll do some Chanukah.
Source on the Magen David. It goes to 14th century. Gave the Jews the opportunity to have flags, and they put a Magen David on the flag, and that's where it starts. Before then, it was just decorations.
Oh, okay.
Today's also the yahrzeit of Dr. Rabbi Leo Young.
Yeah.